The book of Joshua chapter 1, I would like to read verses 1 through 9 only, where God writes by His Spirit concerning the wonderful privilege that He gave and responsibility to Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If this book of the law shall not, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. May God bless the reading of His precious word. I'm sure that most of you may be instructed enough to recognize the meaning of the great book of Joshua. When God brings His earthly people into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, and they inherit the blessing that He had provided for them, though they have to thus fight in the conquering of the land. The whole book can be divided into three great sections. You can take chapters 1 through 5, recording the fact they entered the land. Then from chapter 6 and on through chapter 12 approximately, they conquered the land. And after chapter 12 and on, they possess the land. Many of you may be familiar, I trust, that in the New Testament typology of this story, it represents to us, as it has often been spoken of here, our beloved brother George Kirk has mentioned it more than once, it represents in its type the book of Ephesians, and the great blessings that God has blessed His people of this age with. And I quote the words of chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I'm sure we can recognize that our blessings are not earthly, but go down the chapter, we'll speak of them as we go along. And cover with me very briefly, and I trust thoroughly, what we have here. In verse 1, you find God giving them a new leader. Moses had died. Now Joshua takes the place of leadership commanded by God. You can read in Numbers chapter 27 how God gave that command to Moses to put his hand of authority and decision upon Joshua to be the servant that would follow. And Joshua became the leader of the nation to lead them into the land of blessing. And I'm sure you will agree with me. Our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Joshua typifies. My beloved fellow believer, may I say to you as well as to mine own heart, who is the leader for the assembly? Who is the leader for you and for me in seeking to carry out the testimony of the Lord? None but the Lord Jesus himself. And may I be reminded, he's with us. May I be reminded that it is written, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul wrote, Christ liveth where? In me. My beloved is in you. You who have trusted him as your Savior. Christ liveth in me. And not only is that true, but you have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not only dwelling with us, but also, as we know from John 14, he shall not only be with you, he shall be in you. And that forever. May I emphasize right away, Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus leading his people to those rich blessings that are in heavenly places. Read on, if you will, please. Note if I may go to verse, let me go to verse 3. Very briefly, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. My beloved, may I say we have to use our feet of faith. Joshua had to go ahead. The people of Israel had to put their feet in the land. And as we know, they did. And so every promise was given. Every part of the land that you put your foot upon, it'll be yours. And my beloved, every blessing that God has for us in Christ in the heavenly places is only yours and mine if you go ahead and put your feet on them. The practical expression of faith. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But may I point out something very unique in verse 4. Note the boundary of the land to which they were going. It was on one side, there was the wilderness, a great desert. On another side of it was the mountain of Lebanon. On another side of it, the border was the great river Euphrates. And then at on another side was the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Now may I picture before you, they were in to be in a land that was surrounded, but the land was theirs to possess and stay in and enjoy. But around them, there was a great desert, a barren place. That's the type of the world, my friend, my fellow believer. The world doesn't give you and me any spiritual food. It's a desert. The mountain of Lebanon, and a mountain oftentimes through Scripture, is a type of a great power in the world. Babylon was one of them, and there have been many others. But it's a type of the power of the world. And then you've got the river Euphrates, so typical of blessing, a river bringing blessing to the land. You've got that in Egypt. The river Nile was the source of the blessing of the land of Egypt. And the world is a place of worldly prosperity. And the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea on the other side, typical of the nations. And the wicked are like the restless sea, or the, like the sea which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And let me give you the thought, please. You and I who are believers, we're surrounded, as far as this world is concerned, there's a big desert. And there's also a mountain of power in the world under Satan. And there is, as we well know, there's also a great sea of unrest among the nations, together with what we have also noticed. there is also, as we have noticed in this same verse, the great river of prosperity. Now let me please suggest to you, we're surrounded, And you know from your Bible, the great sin that Israel committed against their Jehovah caused them to be banished out of the land and cast among the nations in judgment. Those dangers were there. And then in the land, there were enemies they had to conquer. And you know from Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in higher heavenly places. Like these people, well, in fact, a little different, we're still in the desert, literally. But we're also in spiritual places in heaven, with spiritual blessings promised to us. And there's a conflict. We have a conflict, and we have a desert. We're going through the desert, and we have a conflict at the same time. But please know what God has to say here. Verse 5. Notice the encouragement he gives to Joshua. There shall not any man, this is his promise, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Can I emphasize that last phrase of the verse? God saying, what a promise. And to Joshua, this was encouragement. I will, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now note the moral qualifications that follow. They're very typical of what should be yours and mine as we face the difficulties of our day, as we face the problems of the testimony we seek to have for the Lord. And we have these words, first of all. Let me read verse 6 and 7. Let me read verse 6 and 7 together. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people that shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Let me stop there, please. The New Testament in chapter 6 of the Ephesian epistle, before telling of the warfare and telling us of the character of the armor we wear, begins by saying that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Be strong in the Lord. Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And may I encourage my fellow believers, be strong. And here's the one who's encouraging us to be strong. Now, it couldn't be any better leader, could it? Be strong, be strong. But I want you to notice something. The responsibility that Joshua was given, that yours and mine can indeed be applied to our own hearts at the present time. As he said, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now God gave him some written commandments through Moses. And he said, be careful to do all according to what I've written. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Do it. All that I've commanded. You remember? The only command that Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave when he was upon the earth in John chapter 2. At the one when the water was turned into the wine, and she told the servants at the wedding feast, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Can I say this humbly, faithfully, to my own soul as well as to yours? Your responsibility and mine, and together with dear brother Robert St. John and his family who may come, is to do what the Lord Jesus tells us to do. Sums it all up. But let's go further down and see how God develops it with Joshua in verse 8. And please note this fact, though, at the end of verse 7. If you do it, it's because that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Can I say lovingly? May I say it faithfully? This assembly will not prosper unless you and I individually will obey the word of God. I believe that's the teaching of the whole book. Obedience. Now please know what we say. God in verse 6. In fact, the book's emphasized. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua had a book. And may I say, he only had about 5 books at the most out of the Bible. And you and I have got 66 books. This book. My beloved, may I say lovingly, earnestly, your obedience and mine to this book depends upon the prosperity of this assembly for God's glory. It's not to depart out of thy mouth. What a book. Go by the book. There's only one book. Sir Walter Scott, they say when he was dying, a great writer that he had been, poet, as well as an author, he called on his dying bed, "Bring me the book." And they looked at him surprised, the members of his family. He had a big library. And they said, "Which book?" "There's only one," he said. "The book, the Bible." My beloved, please let me say, I don't care how many other books are written. I don't care how many other books are now being written. And may I humbly say, sometimes I think there's too many books being written, even for Christians, without emphasizing the book. The book. Now, let's see what he had to do with it. "Let it not depart out of thy mouth," and now note, "but thou shalt meditate in that book." What was his responsibility? To meditate in that book. My beloved, please let me, and I say this to my own conscience, I thank God for the good books that I can have been blessed with and am being blessed with when I get a good book from any author that is exalting the Lord Jesus. But there's only one book that I find God telling me to meditate in. This book. Meditate in. Now let me ask the question, what does it mean to meditate? Meditate. Let me emphasize it plainly and simply. It means I think God's thoughts. I'm thinking God's thoughts, not my own. I'm thinking God's thoughts that I find in the book. And I delight in them. Let me quote Psalm 104, verse 34, one example. "My meditation of him shall what? Be sweet." Let me quote Psalm chapter 1, the opening verses. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where? In the word of God. And in his word he meditates day and night." I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 and 8. You may know them well. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and your thoughts with my thoughts. Listen, let me tell you something. God doesn't want you and I to think on a low level. He said, "My thoughts are higher." Will you find them? In the book. In the book. From Genesis through Revelation. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Now, please let me ask you something. How many of God's thoughts did you think about today? And let me reemphasize it, you've got to get them from the book. Don't think they come out of the air. Don't think that they come out of the air. They come from His Word. God has expressed His thoughts through the whole Bible. Let me ask again, how many of His thoughts have you had in your mind and heart today? It doesn't matter whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're in the office, whether you're in the shop, whether in the factory, whether on the street. Name wherever you might be as a Christian. You've got the responsibility of meditating every day upon the Word of God. And know, how often should you meditate? Well, look what it says, as Psalm chapter 1 does. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. For unless the Word of God has its free course with us, and in us, and through us, there'll not be blessing. Read on, please, quickly. Let me finish that 8th verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Let me think for a moment of Jeremiah, what he wrote in chapter 15, I think, or 16 and verse 15. Thy words were found, and I did what? Heed them. Did you chew over God's Word today? No, I'll tell you something. It's a precious fact. I've enjoyed it in my past days, in my early days. Chewing over the Word of God while I was working. Oh, you say, now wait a minute. Don't you say it's not possible. Chewing over the Word of God. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. I'm going to be very blunt. One reason we're not being blessed by God, we're not meditating upon the Word of God. And that meditation means, in its original meaning of the Word, we draw all we can out of it. And please let me remind you, as we said in Isaiah 55, God isn't very pleased when we have low thoughts. Because I don't like that. My thoughts are higher. My ways are different. And may I say things frankly? Your life and my life won't be different unless we obey His ways and His thoughts and His words. It depends, and it was for Joshua. Thou shalt meditate in that book, how often? Day and night. I want to tell you, Joshua had a big job, but he did it. He did it. And the blessed man of Psalm 1 did it. And the psalmist said in 139, as we say, listen, God said, the psalmist, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. As the hymn writer wrote, all the thoughts forever flowing, all the joy forever flowing from God's thoughts of His dear Son. Now can I say it again? Please let me say. I can't do it too greatly. The blessing of your daily life depends how much you give time to give thoughts to His Word. You don't have to read a whole chapter and memorize it. You probably couldn't. We could sure take one verse and chew it all day long. Meditate. 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 The Word of God in your mouth. You know, it's a good thing to have it where you can have it in your mouth. Then you're able to tell it. If you don't get it in your heart, it doesn't get to your mouth, I know. But if it's not in your mouth, nobody else is going to hear it either. But please know what it's for. Now let's read the rest of the verse. Meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Can I say this simply, and I think it's right here expressed? The reason Christians are not obeying the word of the Lord, they're not even meditating in it. If they get it, maybe just on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if they come to the prayer meeting, that's not enough. Individually, every day and night. It produces obedience. Note it again, let me emphasize it, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You have to obey it. And if you meditate upon it, it produces obedience. The blessing of it. It produces obedience. To do according to that word. And read on why. This is the objective. As you get to the end of the verse. Then. Not before. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then. Thou shalt have good success. My beloved, can I say it again? I say to my conscience as well as to yours, my heart as well as to yours, unless I meditate in the Word of God day and night as much as possible, I'm not going to be a successful Christian. The assembly is not going to be a successful assembly. Let me say it lovingly, not only lovingly, but encouragingly. I don't care how few we are if we were doing that. I'd rather be with a handful who was keeping the word of God than with the 5,000. You don't know who they are, what they are, where they are spiritually. I'd rather be with just a handful of dear Christians who want to obey the word of God. Obedience, the key to blessing. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. And please let me say this, right from the beginning of this book, you can read it all the way through and you'll find how successful Joshua was. With only one exception you might find, he went wrong. But you will have to say that he really kept the word of God. He was so successful. Right to the end. He obeyed. But note the encouragement at the end. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee? My beloved, let me say, God gave given to you and me a command. The commandment that we should keep his word. Keep my commandments, said the Lord Jesus. And his commandments, John wrote in the epistle, are not grievous. Then he said, my brother, don't look at me and don't look at any preacher. Look at yourself. Let me look at myself. God's commanded me. Keep my word. Keep my word. And then he encourages me, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. My, what an encouragement. He knows you can't do it alone. He says, I'm with you. Can I say it humbly again, but prayerfully from the depths of my heart, I'd rather be with a little group of believers who are faithful to the word of God and know that the Lord is with us as we obey his word. Joshua really enjoyed the land, didn't he? And we'll enjoy our blessing if we seek to do the same. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy word, but we have to confess the word of God is quick. Living and effective, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And Lord, thy servant who speaks to thee confesses the need of this portion, speaking to his heart and his conscience. And pray that the dear ones with us will take it to their heart and their conscience. Here's an example. There are blessings that belong to us in Christ. We're not enjoying them as we should. If we were enjoying them, Lord, we'd be conquering. We'd be winning souls. We'd be making thee known in the midst of difficulties. And we humbly pray, Lord Jesus, you're our great Joshua. Please lead us, as Joshua led the people of Israel long ago. We've already entered into the land. We crossed the Red Sea when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We crossed the River Jordan when we saw that we were identified with him in his death. We're in the land. Blessed Lord, we have to conquer it. The devil doesn't want us to enjoy it. All these blessings. Lord, please bless the little assembly. Lord, and hear our prayer. And search every one of us, and let every one of us get in such condition with thee, Lord. You can't help but bless us. Let us see thy prosperity blessing us. And may every one of us hear thee say, be strong and of good courage. Be not dismayed. I am will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, we ask it. Lord, as we face the future, Lord, we don't know how long the future's going to be. We long for thee to come, Lord. And Lord, probably every one of us is saying we wish you would come. But Lord, look, we don't want to meet thee defeated. We'd like to meet thee victoriously. And we, please, Lord, from the depths of the heart, we pray for this testimony. That by thy Holy Spirit, and by each one of us, letting the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit through the book guide us in a path of obedience, and we'll have spiritual prosperity. We ask it, Lord, in thy precious and worthy name, giving thee thanks. Amen.